Titus, going through these qualifications. We're going through the book of Titus, or the little letter of Titus, and we just happen to be in the first chapter where there's some qualifications for a bishop, an elder, leadership, essentially. And verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, deals with being a hothead, being a somebody who is quick-tempered, I guess you could say, or hot-tempered. But verse 7, a bishop must be blameless, Titus 1:7. Bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. That's the phrase we're looking at this evening, not soon angry. And generally, I don't like going through books in the Bible like this, where you just sort of take each thing, you know, or your little phrases out, unless we already know the context of it. But I'll say I don't like doing it this way generally, because this isn't the way you read anything. The way you read something is you read through the book, and then if you're going to explain things, you know, you've learned what the whole thing says. I think we can sometimes get trapped into the verse-by-verse stuff where we're so focused on these little phrases, like you wouldn't read a Herman Melville short story just phrase by phrase, and here's a little phrase, and we're going to talk about this little phrase. You wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't know what the book's about. That same thing applies with the Bible generally, but I think Titus is a short enough letter. We understand what's going on here. It's a letter to a fellow that's going to plant churches, oversee leadership, and set some things in order in these congregations. And along with that, Paul's given some instruction about who to set as oversight of these congregations. And probably a lot of this stuff is, Titus already knows it, but as Paul puts it in writing, it's something that kind of becomes official. And that way, when the congregation has questions about it, it's something that's in writing. And so Paul puts this in writing. So the next qualification he deals with is somebody who is not soon angry. You don't want somebody who's hot-tempered overseeing a flock of God's people, and God wouldn't put anybody who's hot-tempered over his flock anyway, and this is the idea. There are several warnings about this in the Bible, and Jesus Christ himself makes multiple warnings in his sermons about this, and there's some serious warnings about it by Paul, as we'll see as we go through this. But let's pray, and we'll dig into this, just this phrase about not being soon angry. But let's pray, and then we'll deal with that. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray that you'd just help us understand what we're reading, how it applies, how it needs to apply, how it needs to apply to a congregation and to us particularly. But I pray that you'd guide us through these words and just give us the understanding that we need, and help me. I've got a little lesson here that's prepared, and just pray that you would help it be explained and understood the way it needs to be understood. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I find it interesting. Of these qualifications, the ones that get picked out, you know, as more important than others, sometimes, for instance, the husband of one wife thing gets really picked out as like the thing, and in spite of these other ones that are just as important, they're all important. And so we've already dealt with the husband of one wife, but I think it's interesting. It kind of shows you where people's sometimes hearts are, or where their proclivities are or the things that they have particular interest in. But they're all equally important, and this goes along with it. Not soon angry. Not soon angry. So Paul says, don't put a guy in an oversight position, Titus. Don't put a guy in an oversight position in the congregation as you're setting these things in order that is a hothead. They'll make foolish decisions, and Proverbs, we'll deal with some Proverbs that talk about this. But there is one particular one I'll tell you right off the bat. He says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. That's the problem, is the emotion becomes the controlling factor of the person. And, you know, as much as sometimes guys say that ladies are too emotional, guys can be too emotional just in a different way, I think. And so this soon angry or this hot-headedness, this stuff shows up in people's lives, and they make a mess of relationships. They make a mess of decisions that just, you know, because the emotions are in control. And so just a few thoughts about anger itself. First of all, Christianity, a lot of times, is balance. And it's not that these things like anger are bad in your life. It's not a bad emotion. It's bad when it's out of a context and outside of the context that it needs to be in. It's bad when it's not related to the truth. It's bad when it's perverted in some way. And so most of these things, like these emotions aren't bad. They're just tell you what's going on with you. Things like fear, things like anger, these things aren't bad when they're in the right context. Now, they become bad when they get outside of the boundaries they need to be in. And so anger is a normal part of life. Like Paul would say in Ephesians, be angry, sin not, which we'll deal with in a little bit, but I want to throw that verse out there. It's not a sin to be angry, obviously. God is angry sometimes. The Bible says God is angry. So one of the famous ones that probably some hateful people love, God is angry with the wicked every day. And I've heard some people want to throw that out there all the time because they love that verse. But I don't think you should necessarily love something like that. But it's just a reality. God is angry. Anger is something that's in the image of God. That's part of the spiritual part of you. And so it's not a sin to be angry. Jesus got angry sometimes. And so when the emotion is based on the truth and it's within its context and it's in its proper place, it's perfectly fine and normal. And that's the way it is with almost everything in life. And Christianity, you'll find, is so much more about balance in a lot of things than, you know, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. It's more like, well, do this in the context that you need to do it in, and do this in the context that you need to do it. It's not don't ever do this. It's just don't do this outside of the context that it's created for. So anger, again, normal part of life. When it starts becoming a problem, this is something that the Lord Jesus Christ said over in Matthew chapter 5, going through the Sermon on the Mount. And he warns about things like this, warns about having a hot temper in his sermon. In fact, we can look at it. Look in Matthew chapter 5. I'll show you the verse that I'm thinking of here. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, I say unto you, Matthew 5:22, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. That's outside of the scope of what it needs to be. Angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. We've gone over this years ago, but in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. So there's legal trouble sometimes that comes with being a hothead. Get yourself into legal trouble. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Sometimes if this thing is just not controlled, it will be become the idol in your life that prevents salvation, that prevents deliverance, it prevents redemption, and it prevents, because it becomes such an idol, it's something that you just will not give up. So anger outside of the right context, it becomes dangerous. And Jesus Christ warns of that because he's dealing with spiritual matters. He's very much concerned about the heart and the heart being correct. So anger as a first response to anything contrary to you. Think about it that way. When it's something that's contrary to you, you come up against something that's contrary to you, and your first response is anger, that may be something you need to pay attention to. The inability to control that anger shows up in a few areas. Sometimes it shows up in just unnecessary contention and fighting. You know, somebody that's soon angry, that's a hothead, they'll fight about stuff that's, you don't need to fight about it. Maybe you need to have a conversation about it, but you don't need to fight about it. They'll fight about it. Sometimes it shows up in cruel and malicious planning against somebody. I will say having a hot temper or a quick temper doesn't always show up in an outburst. Sometimes it's a simmering thing, and you encounter some contrary something, and you start planning and scheming about how you're going to respond and hurt this person. This is what a lot of times the Jews did with Jesus Christ. They would, a lot of them would just to his face, you know, oppose him. But there's a lot more scheming going on around his ministry than opposition to the face. And so, because you'll see him teach in the synagogue sometimes, and you'll see the rabbis, as they listen to him teach, they'll kind of look around and they'll see that the people are on board with what he's saying, and they don't want to. They don't want to play their hand so quick, so they start plotting and scheming in the shadows. But that's somebody that's not controlling that anger. They're mad without a cause. There's no reason to be mad. There's no reason to be angry at Jesus Christ. But it shows up in some sometimes cruel and malicious planning against somebody you shouldn't. Sometimes it shows up as just a demanding compulsion for revenge. Just, I gotta get back at this person. I gotta fight back. I've gotta do something. And that's an inability to control your anger a lot of times. Sometimes it's an interesting way it shows up as victimhood and just like a narcissistic self-pity. That the world is against me and everything's against me, and that's just not really true. Sometimes it's misuse of authority, and this becomes the problem that Paul's seriously concerned about, that somebody who's a hothead is going to misuse authority and just become, like we talked about before, kind of tyrannical. Another way it shows up is you hurt people, sometimes physically. You know, if your solution to everything is to let's get the gloves on and let's fight it out, that's not the solution. That's just not probably the solution. And in fact, when everybody's punched each other in the face, you still got the problem probably. So that kind of stuff, it doesn't make for good decisions. It's you hurt people physically, you hurt people emotionally, you hurt people mentally. You may damage property, and it may bring on legal problems. You damage property, your things, and just invite these legal problems. So one of the Proverbs says, Solomon said it this way in one of the Proverbs, he basically said, don't make friends with an angry man. I know you're supposed to love everybody, but sometimes you got to keep people at arm's length. Don't make friends with an angry man. Or with a furious man, don't go. And he says, lest you learn his ways and you get a snare to your soul. That's a serious problem. That's, if you want to look it up, Proverbs 22 verses 24 through 25. But he says, you got to keep that stuff at arm's length. You don't want to become like that. You don't want to become that kind of problem solver where every problem is a nail that you got to hit with a hammer. That's not it. So anger is a first response to something contrary to you. You got to keep that stuff in check. But the bigger deal is Paul is telling Titus, you just can't put some guy like that in charge. You can't put him as oversight. His emotions are out of control. And he doesn't control them enough to be able to deal with the problems he's going to experience in this position. So I'll show you a good set of verses that Paul writes in addition to this in Titus. One of the best descriptions of anger management, if you want to put it that way, is in Ephesians. Look over here in Ephesians. I'll show you these verses. Probably familiar verses to you. But Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about it just briefly a while ago. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, somewhere in there, 26. Says this, Ephesians 4:26. Again, we're in a context of putting off the old man, putting on new man. And then in that context, he says, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. All right, that's kind of what we just said. Anger is not the sin. The sin is when it's excessive, when it's outside of the bounds it's supposed to be in. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does that mean? That means you got to put some boundaries on it. If it's a problem for you, you got to put some boundaries on it. You got to put some walls around your emotions, which is something that, again, Solomon says in Proverbs. So many Proverbs are so practical, but he says somebody, a man that can't rule his emotions is like a city with no walls, meaning the enemy has access willy-nilly, however he wants, in and out of the city. There's no defense. And that's the same as a man who doesn't control his emotions. The enemy has full access to anything he wants in that city. And so as Paul goes on, you're going to explain it, and it's going to be even worse. But be angry, sin not, let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's interesting. I'll deal with that in just a second. Because there's, all this discussion about, sometimes there's discussion about, can a Christian be possessed, blah, blah, blah. And it really doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't make any difference, because if you can't control your emotions, yeah, you're being dictated to by something outside of you. And whether we can define technically possession, or it doesn't make any difference, because you're being run by a spirit that's controlling your life. Put some walls around your emotions. How do you get control? You know, you be angry, but sin not. One of the ways to think about this and get control, or try to start getting control of this, you learn to maybe empathize first. Listen more, and that's difficult. Maybe you need to stop letting anger build inside. If you need to talk it out with your spouse or somebody, talk it out. But don't let it build and rage inside and boil inside. And you know, let's deal with it the way it needs to be dealt with. Let's figure out some problem solving here. Maybe take a step back. Maybe you need to actually learn details about what's going on. Maybe, you know, consider the consequences of your emotions. And that's really one of the big problems, is somebody who's soon angry isn't thinking far enough ahead to think these thoughts. They're just responding in wrath because something has opposed them. And that's not good leadership. Consider the consequences of your emotions. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to quit listening to and surrounding yourself with stuff that's making you mad. I mean, I would say if, you know, if I know personally, if I listen to certain things, my anger inside will grow. So I can't listen to certain things because it just makes me mad. And so you just sort of get away from it. You need to just turn it off, listen to something else. But don't surround yourself with stuff that's going to encourage this behavior, which kind of goes with the proverb of don't make friends with a guy like this. Yeah, I mean, you're going to learn how he operates with his emotions, and you're going to start doing the same things. Interestingly enough, anger, you know, as an emotion, just dealing with that generally as an emotion, it's, you know, I think people like to be controlled by their emotions. And this is actually one of the devil's philosophies of humanity. You see that in Job, but with pain, the devil can control people, or thinks he can. He believes that about humanity. He believes that with pleasure he can control people, and that's generally true. Those two things are generally true about people. So there's a proverb about ruling your spirit. You got to be able to control your emotions, particularly anger is the one we're talking about. By the way, another proverb, I mentioned it earlier, but Proverbs 25:28, that's the one that says that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. There's no defense. And you can argue the technical, you know, whether this is a possession or, you can argue all that stuff, but the bottom line is you're being controlled by something that you're not controlling. So there's no protection at that point against the enemy. And I would say the way God sees something like that, the reason you don't want to put somebody who's a hothead in charge, it's just as good as putting the devil in charge of the flock. Because this guy has no control of his emotions. The enemy has full reign in his life, and he can do whatever he wants to. If you just set this guy off, he'll be like a top just spinning. And I mean, the devil control that stuff till, you know, kingdom come. And so this is what Paul would say: be angry and sin not, letting the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So the big danger is this is where that satanic spirit resides. And it takes on the form sometimes of false accusations, destroying people's lives, destruction in relationships, self-righteousness, all those things are part of this. You give place to the devil, so he is essentially, he occupies the real estate. If you give him place by virtue of uncontrolled emotion, particularly anger, he occupies the space. And you can say, well, he doesn't technically do it. I mean, it doesn't. He occupies it. Neither give place to the devil. You've given place to him. So be careful about that, obviously. He's the spirit of deceit, of lies, of destruction, of damage, of brokenness, of murder, all those things. And so the implication is pretty obvious. In Paul's explanation, you just don't have any defense. You're going to give place to the devil if you don't control that stuff. If you don't set some boundaries on it, you don't put up some walls around this thing. Get a grip on your emotions. And so, like Jesus Christ said, there can be sometimes in Matthew chapter 5, there can be legal consequences to this. There can be social consequences to this. There can be emotional, mental consequences to this, both with other people around you and with yourself. And so, simply put, Paul says to Timothy, and I think Timothy probably, I mean to Titus, he probably already understands all of these things, but Paul's putting in writing is to formalize all of this. But he says, don't put a guy in charge who's soon angry. soon angry. That's the sort of the caveat there. Their anger is out of bounds. It's out of place. It's not correct. And there's a place for it. But somebody who's a hothead isn't somebody the Lord's going to approve of overseeing his flock. This guy's going to create too many unnecessary problems within the congregation to be useful to the people. It would just be a way of, honestly, like I said, inadvertently putting the devil in charge of the flock. Because if this guy's going to give his emotions over to the Spirit, then, I mean, he's not in control anymore. He's not handling this thing anymore. So Paul says, again, among all of these requirements in Titus about who to set in order over the flock and over the congregations in Crete, a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. Not soon angry. And I think we understand the reasoning behind that. And hopefully we do. If it's something that's a problem in your life, and I probably say it's a problem at some point in all of our lives. Some people may just have more of a tendency with it than others. But you got to put boundaries around it. You got to think this stuff out. You got to think about what you're about to say, what you're about to do. You need to consider other options. You need to consider what you're about to say. Consider the other side. Sometimes you don't have the whole story, and I would say sometimes people rely on that. If they know somebody that's a hothead, they'd give them some good information and let them just sort of run with it and destroy other people's lives with it. But just got to be careful with it. Control your emotions. That's one of the things. And I have found in Christianity generally is a general truth, like we're talking about this morning. It is not a theoretical belief system. It is a very practical matter in life, in dealing with who you are as a person and how you respond to other people, how you socialize, how you take responsibility for things. That's Christianity. That's what it's supposed to be. And so, as Paul says to Titus, be careful. Don't put the man in charge who is soon angry. Soon angry. So, hope that's helpful. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray this has been helpful to go through some of these cross references. A lot of good proverbs about this. Just putting some reins on the spirit here and on the emotions. I pray that it would be applied the way it needs to be applied, put into practice and all that. And so thank you for the good counsel. Thank you for the good words. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.